Hello and welcome to episode 146 of the Veg Grower Podcast. Today is the 11th of December 2017. Today a bit of a brain freeze, even though I've got it written in front of me. Anyway, coming up today, I've got the little on the diary, which is pretty small due to basically the weather. Then after that, I'm going to talk about how I grow Brussels sprouts. It's that time of year that this vegetable becomes very popular in the shops, but personally I much prefer my homegrown ones. But before that, the diary. Well, this week I've not really done much on the plots. We even visited the allotment purely because of the weather and the dark evenings. However, what I have been doing is using my time to make my life much easier when it comes to sowing seeds. And what I did is I created a spreadsheet called the Seed Inventory on Google Docs. And I've gone through every single one of my seeds. And I'm making a list of what I have, when they expire, if the pack is open, and when to sow, plant and harvest. Now at the moment, I haven't completed all my seeds. There's still a lot to go through. I've probably got over 600 packets. But my plan is to incorporate this spreadsheet into a seed sowing plan for the year. And when this spreadsheet is complete, I will make a calendar. And each week I will list what seeds I'm sowing that week. And I'm hoping that this approach will make seed sowing and growing food more organised. And I know that's something I discussed with Steve earlier, and I've used a few of his ideas. I apologise, Steve, but they were good ideas. This spreadsheet I am able to share with you. If you check out the blog post for this episode, I've added a link to it, and you can go and have a look at it there. And the calendar will be shared too when I create that. Now, usually I use Apple spreadsheets. I know those better, purely because I have a phone and a pad and I've always done everything on those. I'm not familiar with other spreadsheets, purely I don't come from that background. I'm an engineer by trade, so using computers and that sort of thing is a complete learning curve for me. But to share them, the only way I could find to do it was to use Google Docs. So that's what I've done. And if anyone can suggest any improvements or suggest where I can learn a bit about it, I'm happy to hear, because I'm still learning. Anyway, once I've logged every seed packet, I've put the packet into a photo album. And again, I think this will make life easier. Each seed packet has its own pocket within the photo album, and each pocket I'm actually going to number with the number on the spreadsheet. And actually I found that this photo album seems to be quite comfortable for holding seeds. The pockets are a decent size and can fit packets in there quite easily, even peas and beans, which are quite big packets. I will admit that this process of logging them all is long. And I've spent lots of evenings setting this up and logging each seed. And even Saturday and Sunday was doing this. Saturday, Friday I got an email saying that my bare-rooted fruit bushes had been dispatched. And they were on a 24-hour delivery. So I was kind of waiting in for them all day Saturday. It was bitterly cold, so I didn't venture out. And I think combination of it being cold and this delivery, it kind of gave me an excuse to stay in. I was going through my seed packet, so I was still kind of being productive. Well, of course, the delivery didn't turn up, did it? So, although it was cold, I could have perhaps gone down the allotment because it was cold, but it wasn't wet or windy. unlike Sunday, when I woke up and it was heavy rain and strong winds. I mean, my lawn outside is just covered in water. It was so wet. Because of this, I decided not to go down the plot. And I'm a bit annoyed that I didn't get to go down the plot. But the weather wasn't nice. All I would have done was try and sit in a van and just sat there doing nothing. So, yeah, it's a bit annoying, but hey-ho. And in some ways, I'm kind of lucky. I haven't had any snow. But I don't like wind and I don't like rain. So I continued with my seed organising. One thing that I did do, and this was in my potting shed, and I played around with a grow light that I purchased a while ago from IKEA. Now, if you cast your mind back to the end of January in episode 101, in that episode I actually discussed whether grow lights were for me or not. And in that podcast, I kind of concluded that I couldn't justify the expense of grow lights to gain very little, or what I thought would be very little, because of my potting shed is actually quite warm and well lit. Well, when I was in IKEA, now I've had this a few months, I found that they were selling grow light bulbs at a pretty reasonable price. And these bulbs are the standard screw fitting bulbs, which were £10, or the slightly smaller screw fitting, which is £7. Not the tube type, which if you get the tube type, you've then got to get a holder and everything. The advantage with these standard screw fittings, or even the slightly smaller screw fittings, is you can use any old lamp or anything. So it's saving on there, really, and because I can always do things with that. But Sunday, I played around with this. I pull it into a lamp that I had kind of in there, actually. I played it around, and I'm pretty impressed with it so far. It seems fairly bright in my little potting shed. I fitted it into a lamp, and I've hung it from the roof. And I was kind of seeing how well the light spreads. And it seems reasonably well lit, I have to admit. And the light was pretty well spread. So in that case, I'm pretty impressed with it. Now, the plants that are higher up on the shelves will actually do really, really well with this, and it will extend the daylight hours. I plan to add a timer, and hopefully that will improve my young seedlings. And it also may help the quail, as they seem to like the light, and it still allowed them somewhere dark to retreat to as well, just by moving further back into the cage. I still have a tomato plant growing in this potting shed. It hasn't died back, and it's got no signs of it dying back at all, and I'm amazed by it. But I believe that these lights could actually extend the life of this tomato plant as well. So it's kind of interesting. And it's interesting how the motivations and research changes throughout a year. As I said in January, I didn't think grow lights for me. My potting shed is basically a greenhouse with a solid back. It stays pretty warm in there, actually, and it's well lit. But at the same time, these bulbs are a reasonable price, and if it improves my food growing, providing it's cost effective, which I didn't think the tubes were for me, it should be good. We'll see. That's next year anyway. Anyway, really, that is the diary up to date. The only other thing I've got to add is, when do you think my delivery turned up today? So these bare root plants will need planting very, very soon. So, Brussels sprouts, they're really popular at the moment. And personally, I really like them. However, I do find they're to be a bit like Marmite. You either love them or hate them. And interestingly, whether you like them or not can be down to your genes. A study in 2011 discovered that one particular gene in a human actually controls whether you like the taste of a chemical found in Brussels sprouts. That's my understanding anyway. I've added a link to a BBC article from the Times. But anyway, sprouts are native to the Mediterranean regions. But in the 5th century, they kind of began appearing in the northern Europe. Now, in the 13th century, they began to be largely cultivated near Brussels, which is where they get their names from. And based on this, I always say it's interesting to find out where a plant comes from to work out its natural growing conditions. And based on that, Brussels sprouts should grow really well here in the UK, as our conditions aren't too dissimilar to Brussels. And even if they've been bred to be better for our climate, they're not so far out of their natural... can't think of the word. You get what I mean, anyway. Now, I like to grow sprouts from seed. Really, 4 plants is plenty to feed a family. But I always end up sowing more than needed and then plant the strongest plants. And actually, this year, I had lots of little plants left over, which I planted into a small pot, and kind of left and never done anything with them. I want to say I forgot about them, but I did forget about them. I just didn't do anything with them. These ones haven't produced sprouts, but have formed small tops, a bit like a tiny cabbage, and these are actually edible. So I can use them for that. I've also used the small print plants as treats for the chicken and for the quail. However, this is further down the line. The 4 that I did plant down the allotment have actually done very well, but we'll get to that in a minute. As I said, I like to sow the seeds in April, just under cover. And then as the plants grow, I pop them on and slowly get them hardened off, ready to plant out about May, June time. Now, these plants will be in the ground for a very long time, so it's best to prepare for that. I generally add plenty of horse manure and compost to the bed when preparing the bed. But I like to tamp down the ground as it sprouts like a really firm ground. Then when I plant out, just simply dig a hole big enough for the root ball, pop in the plant, refill the hole, add a strong support. I find canes to be good enough for me, but I often see a bit of timber, like an inch by inch, being used. I then tamp the soil around the base of the plant with my foot, just to ensure it's firm. Again, I've actually seen others use the top of a club hammer to really firm this ground. And after that, I simply water and feed with chicken pellets. I try and make sure the plant is tied into the support as it grows to stop it from rocking in the wind. In the autumn, winter time roughly, sprouts begin to appear on the stem. And as these are ready, I harvest them. Usually they're ready from the bottom and work their way up. And the top being later on in the season means you can stretch them out for quite a while, that I find. If any leaves start to turn yellow, I just pick them off and then compost those. Once all the sprouts are harvested, I cut off the tops. And as I said earlier, the tops are edible and they're almost like a cabbage. And This, of course, provides more food from one plant, so win-win. It's worth experimenting and trying with that. It's quite nice. Then once everything is harvested from the plants, I remove the plant. In the past, I've dug them out. But something I did last year, which gave really interesting results, was I just cut off the stem about an inch or two above ground. Now, I'd done this originally because I try and do the no-dig method, and I've done that for years. But I've always not dug things out, but pulled things out. I tried, and my idea was if I just cut the stem, I won't disturb the soil and everything will just rot down and into the ground, especially if I covered it with manure or compost. But what happened was this plant started to shoot up new stems. And in total, there's three new stems, all of which have provided more sprouts. And that's the second year of growing this one plant. Now, admittedly, the first stem that produced really fantastic big sprouts. Nice and early as well. Unfortunately, I don't know when I cut the stem last year. I didn't expect this to happen. So I'm trying it again this year and be experimenting and see if it works again, if we get the same results and when cutting them, what works best and so on. I'm at a loss with this bit, but it's been so yeah. That's kind of something happens accidentally. I think it's one of those interesting things. I really should put a blog post out about that. Find out a bit more. Anyway, generally I find sprouts to be pretty problem free. Anyway, when they're young, of course, slugs and snails are a problem, and we deal with that with slug pellets and whatever we use. I mean, I don't use anything anymore for some reason, but they're pretty easy. Establishing is actually very easy. It's, again, making sure the plant is kept well watered in as it establishes. Cabbage white butterflies may come along and lay eggs on the plants, which would lead to caterpillars eating all the leaves. However, I've not found this to be a problem for me personally. Netting the plants is probably the best way to prevent this. I do get a lot of whitefly on my plants, but they don't seem to affect it. I found the whitefly actually to be worse when I left nets on. But this year I didn't net them as much as I did last year, and I think all the little birds, all the thrushes and everything, come and eat the flies. I said earlier about staking and the firm ground, and this is actually to prevent sprouts from blowing and basically not being firm balls. The sprouts look like, I guess, like a rose is probably the best way to describe it. And this is just simply due to the plant rocking and the roots shifting in the ground, of which plants don't like. This is easily avoided by taking the measures I said earlier. Or reducing the wind on the plot with wind nets or similar. Personally, I quite like sprouts. And if I have sprouts plain, I just steam 5 to 6 minutes, which really good results. However, when I have had people around that don't like sprouts, I have found that by frying some bacon lardons and just adding the sprouts to the pan just to crisp them up, just to finish them off, people seem to like that. They seem to like the sprouty, bacony flavour. But something I actually recently done was to use chorizo instead of bacon, and that was really, really nice. I've also discovered sprouts go really well in stir fries too. Some noodles, garlic, bacon, chili, whatever. The good thing with stir fries is it's whatever you can find didn't take your fancy at the time, everything works in a stir fry. However, for me, because I like sprouts, this may not work for everyone. But if anyone does have any recipes using sprouts, please share with me, and I'll share it with the rest of this community and go from there, really. And well, that is it for this week. I'm going to wrap up and head to bed. I'm looking forward to the lighter evenings, which when I checked, because I was finding out when they were going to be, they start for me getting lighter next week, only by a few minutes, but it's good. Next week I will be reviewing 2017 and discussing the highs and lows of this year on the plots. So till then, please take care, and I'll speak to you all again then.